Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, and I'm recording on Wednesday, the 13th of August at 9:35 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Well, it's still all about Mr. Putin and Russia, as you may have noticed from much of the news coverage. First, in the unexpected role of humanitarian peacenik. He's sending those white aid trucks along towards the Ukraine border. But reports of military exercises are very much in the news. For instance, according to Bloomberg, Russia started military exercises in the remote far east of the country, prompting protests from neighboring Japan at a time when its troops are also active in Eastern Europe and on the Ukrainian border. The drills in the Kurile Islands started yesterday with more than 1,000 troops, 5 helicopters, and about 100 additional pieces of equipment, state-run news service RIA Novosti reported, citing Alexander Gordiev, a regional spokesman for Russia's defense ministry. Japan, which also claims the islands as its northern territories, called the drills absolutely unacceptable, according to a statement from the foreign ministry. Then, 2 days ago, the ITAR-TASS news agency reported that week-long drills involving about 3,000 paratroopers, warplanes, and helicopters began in the Peskov region of western Russia, which borders Belarus as well as Estonia and Latvia, both members of the European Union and NATO. The U.S. and its allies have accused Russia of using military exercises during the recent standoff with Ukraine to keep pressure on its western neighbor. The government in Kiev estimates Russia has deployed 45,000 soldiers, 160 tanks, and 192 warplanes, among other equipment along its border, including soldiers stationed in Crimea. That makes it the biggest military buildup since troops are withdrawn from the area in May. Well, much to ponder there. Bluff or a real threat? Well, we can't afford to assume that it's just bluff. But the markets are going to respond to short-term developments, and the fear last week was that there was a high risk that Russia might rush across the Ukraine border with all those troops that have been amassed there, but that might have been a little bit too obvious. And subsequently, with the so-called humanitarian aid vans approaching Ukraine, well, markets have been covering shorts in Europe and the USA, and also some opportunistic buying, and that continued in here today. Now, the region least exposed to anything going on in Russia is, well, not entirely in the Asia-Pacific, as you just saw from Western Russia, Far Eastern Russian activity near Japan. But the Asian markets were generally steady in here today. Japan was a little bit higher, about a third of a percentage point across its various indices. The Hang Seng Index up 0.8%. Very modest gain from the Shanghai Composite Index, but that's near its rally highs to date in a brief, narrow consolidation. Taiwan was steadier, up 0.75%. South Korea firm. A slight dip, 0.25% and percentage point in Australia overnight. Modest gain in India on top of the lost rallies of the previous 2 days. Let's see. I think Singapore, fractionally lower, tiny, less than 0.1%. Malaysia, steady. Thailand, up nearly 1.6%. Indonesia, also up nearly 0.75%. So these are firm markets. And it's not surprising, as say, they're mostly removed from the Russian activities. They're less vulnerable in terms of sanctions, except for Japan a little bit and also Australia a little bit. The main point, though, is that the values are a lot better than we actually see on Wall Street. And that applies to the values on Europe, as I indicated yesterday and have been saying in these audios recently, which are very attractive. And we had a firmer tone here in Europe. The gains looks like they were led by Germany, which is up 1.43% here today. And all the markets looks like they were all higher. I see the Euro Stoxx 50 up over 1%. As well. Now, Wall Street also had a decent day. This, you remember yesterday, it gave up most of its gains. And today we have up over 0.5% on the Dow. Still better yet on the S&P 500, which is back up to nearly 1947. And the NASDAQ 100 index was up just over 1%. A fraction lower in Canada and Mexico, a little more, down 1.5% in Brazil. A popular politician was killed in a plane crash, one of the candidates for the election. I think that election is going to be held in October. Okay, what do we make of it all? Well, there's a lot to worry about, but as I've been saying, that while the events in the Middle East are horrific, certainly in terms of impact on markets, they don't really matter that much as long as the price of oil is not moving up. And the price of oil was pretty much unchanged today, and it's come down a lot, as you will have noticed in the last 3 weeks or so. So the WTI is at 97, and I think the last time I saw the Brent, it was just a little above $103, so on the lower side of its overall range. That's good news in terms of energy costs, obviously. Now, the Russian thing is a far greater concern, as I've emphasized. And I'll repeat the point, but I don't think there's any quick end to this. Actually in sight. And therefore, news developments, particularly on the Ukraine border, will be a big influence on the market going forward. Now, elsewhere, government bond prices slightly steadier here in the USA. Now, it's still very low, though. Down in that 2.44 area. And how do we actually explain that? Well, it might be indicating that the bond market feels that the US economy is not quite so strong as people think. Another explanation would be that, well, that rate is higher than the rates you can get on Italian bonds or any of the other European bonds of major countries. And that may well be a factor causing some money to flow into the US bond market. Also, the dollar has been fairly steady recently and remains so today. And so that could also be a factor influencing that money. Money flow into bonds. And there is a little bit of nervousness, understandable nervousness about Wall Street's valuations. And if we look at what Wall Street's done since the 2000 and starting in 2009, it's been one of the leaders to the upside. And it had very good reasons. First, there was the quantitative easing actually taking place. Then there was the technological lead that I've often talked about. The U.S. seems to have moved further ahead of other countries in terms of its technological applications, and corporations have been benefiting enormously from that. And the big number of autonomies in the USA would be another factor. A huge factor, of course, is the near self-sufficiency of the U.S. in energy terms. But you could say that the market is, and I will say that the market is generously priced relative to most other stock markets around the world, not least China, which is certainly the best value among the big markets, and it is beginning to perform technically as well. So that's a certainly a very interesting area in my opinion. And then India, which is a born again situation as far as Narendra Modi is concerned, is one of my favorites for a lengthy bull market. So, while there's a lot of nervousness about political developments that are going on in the world, that there are some very attractive market trends out here, and I don't think, they're going to end in the short term. In the medium term, we can expect some bumpy activity, and that pretty well goes with market activity anyway. Long-dated government bonds, well, they've stayed firmer for longer than I expected, but there's not a whole lot of value there, and I would certainly favor the cautious policy of having money only in the very short term, if you wish to have any of those government bonds. But I'd much rather have the money in equities, where you can get much higher yields, as well as some capital appreciation, while global interest rates remain generally quite low. Elsewhere in the markets, precious metals, well, a bit of a mixed bag in here today. Palladium's a little higher, platinum's a dollar and a half lower at 1470. Silver's underperforming gold. Remember, I had that email yesterday and reference to my long claim of decades that silver is really high beta gold, and so it goes up more when gold is in favor. Silver goes up more, and it goes down more when gold's a little bit weak. Now that's not a locked in situation on every single day, but silver's down near the lower side of its range, whereas gold is in the middle of its range right now, and platinum is in the upper side of its trading range right now, and palladium, on supply shortages, has been leading the recovery. My feeling here is that precious metals will go on ranging for the most part for quite some time, but then eventually move higher. And I think that gold and silver, for instance, I think they're the time to buy them, if you're interested in buying them, is following a setback. And silver's really more of a trading vehicle than anything else. And I think it is justified, though, to have some silver and gold hedge for part of one's portfolio. And what else to mention? I said that the dollar was firmer again in here today. Let's see, sterling has slipped to 1.6691. The euro is down only a fraction, 1.3364. The Aussie currency is a little bit stronger against the greenback here today, up to 0.9306. And industrial metals, a little bit mixed. Copper lower, 3.8 cents lower at 311.75 in the USA. Grains and beans, weaker in here today. We don't have inflation pressures in terms of staple grains. We certainly do in terms of beef prices. And we also, one of the most popular drinks, certainly for me, coffee. The damage is going to keep prices high for at least another couple of years. And on that note, all the very best to all of you. But I'll just also add very quickly that, again, Owen is on holiday this week. He will be back on Friday, and he will do an audio. And I will not be writing or recording on Friday, as I'll be taking a break. I'll be away this coming Friday and also next week. All the very best.